Welcome to Historically St. Pete, a weekly conversation where we explore the truth and the myths of the people and events that created the Sunshine City. Hi, my name is Rui Frias, and I have the coolest job in town. I am the executive director of the St. Pete Museum of History. Located on the St. Pete Pier, the Museum of History has been sharing the stories of the Sunshine City for 103 years, and now we get to share them with you here on Radio St. Pete. As we prepare to honor those who served our great nation in the U.S. military on Veterans Day, I wanted to look back at the role St. Petersburg played in World War II and how those veterans of the greatest generation changed Florida and St. Petersburg forever. When war broke out in Europe and Asia in 1939, St. Petersburg was described by travel writers as a winter resort occupying a semi-isolated area of sand on the southern tip of Pinellas Peninsula. For a decade, the Great Depression wreaked havoc on our tourist-based economy. Despite this, we had vast stretches of undeveloped land in the city limits that were being eyed for new construction. While the news stories kept pointing to war, our hotels, retail, and restaurants were starting to claw their way out of the Great Depression, even welcoming back tourists as 1940 rolled into 1941. When the Selective Service Act was approved in 1940, over 7,000 men, both black and white, from St. Petersburg registered. That should have been a sign of things to come. When the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941, wartime opportunities and obligations propelled a great migration. St. Petersburg residents departed for distant defense plants, training centers, and eventually battlefields. And the multi-million dollar tourist industry that was built in this resort community faced a dilemma. How could a tourist-based economy survive when there was fuel rationing, tire and rubber rationing, travel restrictions? Remember, cross-country air travel was not popular yet, and trains were being rerouted to move troops, and our able-bodied workers were leaving for the military. St. Petersburg and other Florida cities were facing an economic crisis. Who would have thought that the answer and savior would have been the U.S. War Department? The War Department was tasked to build a 9 million member fighting force nearly immediately to fight a war on both sides of the globe. The idea and logistics of building adequate training facilities was going to cost billions and take too much time. Then Florida raised its hand. The least populated state in the South at the time, and known for its oranges, sun, and cattle, had everything the military needed. St. Petersburg, like other major cities such as Tampa and Miami, had thousands of empty hotel rooms, dozens of cafeterias designed to feed thousands of tourists a day, numerous airports, and all surrounded by over 1,000 miles of beach coastline that was perfect to practice amphibious landings, along with plenty of forests and targets to practice bombing runs. Seizing the opportunity, the Florida Hotel Commission and local officials negotiated with the War Department to select St. Petersburg as a major center for training the Army Air Corps recruits. The first members of the Army Air Corps arrived in June of 1942, and within a few months, over 100,000 soldiers wearing khaki and olive drab arrived in St. Petersburg. The officers and commanders took up residency in the Vinoy Hotel, of course, as the rest filled the majority of St. Pete hotels, or camped out under the stars on numerous golf courses around the peninsula. Albert Whitted Airport was used to train fighter pilots, while Clearwater Field, now St. Pete Clearwater National Airport, and MacDill Field saw bomber pilot training. Residents remember walking to school and seeing fighter planes flying over Tampa Bay in dogfight training, or strafing the beaches around Fort DeSoto with live ammunition. If you're lucky, you can still find 50 caliber rounds in the sand today. Or dive bombing barrier islands. Over the years, a few unexploded bombs have been discovered in the sands in the area here. The military training wasn't confined to the U.S. Army Air Corps. U.S. Coast Guard base at Bayborough Harbor was active in patrolling the Florida coastline and hunting German U-boats trying to sink shipping coming out of the Mississippi River that were making their way to Europe. The U.S. Maritime Service assumed the duties and training. The U.S. Maritime Service assumed the duties of training merchant sailors at Bayborough Harbor, and in 1941, the U.S. Marines arrived with their Higgins landing craft and Roebling alligator amphibious vehicles. The residents of St. Pete also played a major part in the war effort. From scrap drives to Doc Webb selling $1 million in war bonds at Webb City, or to groups like the Defense Mothers and Bombardiers entertaining and hosting the soldiers as well as their families. Economically, it was a boom for St. Petersburg. Restaurants, bars, and gift shops all saw record sales. Even the city's trolley line turned a profit from 1942 to 1945, the only time it operated in the black in its 40-year history. Mastery's Bar on Central Avenue claimed that it made more money during the war years than the decade that followed. And then, just like that, the troops left. As the tide turned in both Europe and the Pacific in the Allied favor, few troops were drafted, volunteered, and trained. The military withdrew its training facilities from St. Pete, and the city finally caught its breath. But the legacy of World War II is what shaped modern Florida. Prior to the war, the only thing most of the nation knew about Florida was that it was hot, had beaches, alligators, and fancy hotels for their rich friends to winter in. Now millions of men and women were introduced to paradise in person. Those soldiers quickly moved to Florida or spent years vacationing here before finally retiring in the Sunshine State. I once interviewed a World War II veteran who came to St. Pete to train as a fighter pilot. Surviving the war, he returned to the family farm in Iowa, and after spending the first winter with temperatures dropping down to the teens, he sat on a tractor recalling a January on Spa Beach while he sat in the sun in St. Pete. He packed his bags and moved here. Thanks to our weather and the GI Bill, this growth pushed our city's boundaries, created suburbs, and changed our economy. In 1940, St. Pete's population was about 60,000. By 1950, it was closer to 100,000. The Museum of History would like to thank all our veterans on this Veterans Day and encourage everyone to visit our American Soldier exhibit, currently open in the museum, to learn more about our area's military history. Thank you so much for joining us today and tuning weekly to RadioSt.Pete.com for Historically St. Pete. And stop by the Museum of History on your next visit to the pier to explore the rich and unique history of the Sunshine City.